This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, where the vocal cords continue to recover. Not as strong as I would hope this morning, but at least Kim St. Ange, I don't sound as much like a frog.
When you compare your voice now to what it was
a week ago,
yeah. Stark difference.
I went to
for the
doctor.
Better,
I went to the doctor yesterday, and the doctor said, No more monkeys jumping on the bed.
That was exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah,
the doctor said, listen, this has been going around. There's not much I can do for you except give you prednisone, which should help your vocal cords. It'll help, you know, shrink any swelling or anything in there that you've done to your vocal cords. So I'm on two doses. I'm two doses down, not considerably better. We'll power through it this morning. I'm glad you're with us for sure. Plenty of stuff to get to. County Council fighting over who's going to be the new prosecutor. And I think they're going to win. I got to be honest with you. I don't think Sam Page is going to get away with this little sleight of hand here. I think the governor and the attorney general have plenty of ground to stand on. So they're not just appointing, another screaming lefty to be the county prosecutor for St. Louis County. I mean, that's clearly what they're after, right? I don't know Court Van Osteren. I know that he's a hard lefty that's run for Congress unsuccessfully, and apently is so confident that he's going to get appointed, he has already resigned his 1 year job as a federal prosecutor in order to take over for Wesley Bell before he goes to Congress.
Well, and Councilman Mark Harder is saying Page has been introducing Van Osteren to other attorneys, even set him up with a temporary office.
Yes.
Council has not confirmed him. In fact, Dennis Hancock is saying this is premature to even be discussing a pick because there's no vacancy. Bell has not gone to Congress yet. He's not in that role, his new role yet. So why are we already at this point?
I could be wrong, but I think this is going to come down to the state supremacy issue and whether or not local ordinances can overrule what the state Constitution or the state rules say. We'll see. It's going to end up in court. The appointment of a new county prosecutor will end up in a courtroom somewhere, and it'll ultimately be a judge making this decision. We will try to get Mark Harder on the air a little later this morning. I'm efforting that, but of course he's still sound asleep right now, so we'll see what happens. So hopefully in the 8 o'clock hour we can get Mark to join us here and kind of explain their point of view on all of this. We do have Ryan Schmelz on joining us a little later. Did you see any of the testimony yesterday about the drones in New Jersey?
I've been hearing about them, that they can't figure out who's flying the drones, why they're there, but they're saying, you know, don't worry, there's no security threat, even though they're flying over sensitive areas, military area bases?
Can you imagine the fallout if there is some sort of a terrorist attack on the East Coast of the United States? All of these elected officials who are looking into TV cameras and telling you, there's nothing we can do. I know there are 50 drones flying over sensitive areas, but there's nothing we can do.
This is like the Chinese spy balloon. Shoot the thing down.
Take the Lindenwood University trap team, who are all excellent shooters, and position them near one of these locations, and they'll have those drones down in about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? You just blow them out of the air and then try to determine who they belong to. Where were they transmitting their signal? Somebody locally had to be controlling them.
Doesn't this remind you, though, of the thing we saw play out with the Chinese spy balloon where they're letting
eerie.
This fly over how many states, including right here in downtown St. Louis,
yeah.
And everyone's just I don't know. I can't seem to get the balloon down. There's a simple way to get it down. Just do it.
Take it down. There's no doubt until they determine who it belongs to, or they say you have 1 hour to come forward and tell us who these belong to. And if you don't, we're taking them down. Period. We have the right to do that for security reasons in this country. And I hope somebody wakes up and does that like tomorrow. There's no reason to be putting up with this. Ryan Schmelz is covering this for Fox News Radio. We're going to get a live report from him this morning at about 6:20. So be sure and stay tuned for that. A little later, I know you know Emily Campagno from Outnumbered on Fox, and she's the host of a true crime podcast, and she does a lot of stuff for them. We're going to get her on here a little later. I know she's worked a lot with Pete Hegseth over the last couple years.
Is she the one who's from St. Louis?
Emily? I don't remember that.
Someone from Fox, I remember, surprised us when she said she had St. Louis ties.
We'll have to ask her when we get her on here this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. We still have some Sticks tickets to give away, which we're going to do that today as well. So first of all, Carl Middleman, while my voice is still holding out, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I lost the electricity here. But anyway, one of the things we found is that, you know, we invented the computer chip.
Yeah, Joe Biden lost electricity. Yes, he's been losing electricity for some time. I guess they haven't discovered the source of the leak.
We are completely out of touch, and the insult to the intelligence of the American people and human experience.
Yeah, that is Luigi Mangione, who is, of course, in jail, in custody, now charged with murder and the death of the United Healthcare CEO, yelling at reporters yesterday. The guy said, clearly got a message for America. His reaction tells you a lot that you need to know about this guy.
So I was there on the beach and I talked to several people. One of their 47-foot boats was trailed very closely by more than a dozen of these drones.
Yeah. Why? Why are there suddenly an army of drones flying over places on the east coast of the United States, some of them sensitive locations as well? And the federal government has zero answers for it.
If our government really has no idea, then they're even more incompetent than I thought. We've got to get to the bottom of this, and they need to level with the American people about what's going on. It's crazy.
All right. There you have Josh Hawley coming on it as well last night, and I don't blame him. Somebody's got to go out and raise the alarm about all of this. Carl, I have a strange question for you.
Yeah, I can give you.
Do I see that we are live on Facebook this morning?
That is what I've been told.
Rumble? YouTube?
All of the above.
All right.
Now, this one says we can hear you. Oh, yeah, Mark, you're in the dark.
Yeah, I see that. I prefer to remain anonymous.
So, if you're watching on Rumble, X, YouTube.
It's so strange. Facebook. I come in here some mornings and the computer screen lights me up perfectly, and other mornings I look like I'm in the back of a dark room somewhere. I will I'll turn the ring light on here in a minute if you really need to see it. It's more important that you hear it.
Yeah, it's right.
And hopefully my voice stays with us throughout the course of the morning. Usually it gets better over the course of the morning. But again, I am on drugs. I'm doing my best. I promise you that. You know, here's the thing about it. We're talking about this suspect, Kim, this Luigi. And yesterday, Carl, do we still have the audio from the caller who called in?
Yeah, hang on.
He was upset with me because I pointed out that I had only ever heard that last name one time with a recording artist. What was that recording artist's name, Carl? I can't remember.
Chuck.
Oh, Chuck Mangione. Yeah, I said I've never heard that name before. I wonder if they're related. Well, apparently there is somebody out there who's a bit of a Chuck Mangione fan who got very irritated with me for daring to try to connect the shooter to his favorite artist.
His name is John.
All right, John, here's your chance.
Yeah, I'm leaving this message for Mark Cox and for his crew and for you, Ryan Wiggins, as well. I can't believe that you're associating Chuck Mangione with the CEO killer. Also, I can't believe how little you know about his music. That album that you played, Feels So Good, was a superb hit. And Chuck Mangione also composed the music that was used during the 1980 Olympics. When they segued to and from commercial breaks, he had a fanfare that was used. And it even is still heard sometimes today that was from his album, Give It All You Got. That was the title song, Give It All You Got. Also, Chuck Mangione did the soundtrack to the movie Children of Sanchez. Yes, a much lesser known movie, but another superb jazz album. And Wiggins, if you liked what you just heard, you probably really enjoy Children of Sanchez soundtrack. Why don't you check it out? You guys will be quite surprised. And please don't associate him with this killer, even if it's the same name.
All right, John. Boy, I got a diatribe out of John. I got a soapbox out of John just because I said I've never heard that last name before, except for this guy who was a recording artist.
It's not like
it's
a
an
Smith.
Observation.
It is an interesting, sort of unusual last name.
It is. I have no clue that they're related in any way. I was just pointing that out, and we even played some of his music yesterday.
You know, it's not like his name's Steve Hitler.
Yeah, thank you. It is an unusual. It's an unusual last name, no matter how you look at it. All right, quick break here. We're going to get to our national anthem coming up next. Did you hear the report this morning, Kim, about the domination of ghost guns these days? Did you hear that on your way in?
Yes, I did.
Mark Cox might have a thing or two to say about that when we come back. Carl?
Mark Cox, today in 1960, Aretha Franklin made her first ever public appearance. So, in 2024.
Now, Mark Cox Soapbox.
Hey, Carl Middleman, I have a question for you.
Sir.
Did you know that Casper was a friendly ghost?
I did know that Casper was a dead kid.
That is evidence that not all ghosts are bad. I mean, think of Patrick Swayze, for example. Come on, people. The point is, ghost guns are no more dangerous than any other gun. They may be better than some guns. They may be worse than some guns. But the current national hysteria that's broken out about ghost guns because of this kid in Manhattan who committed a crime with one is ridiculous. The government can't control them or register them or tax them. That's why they're in an uproar over this, and it's why they want to scare you about the proliferation of ghost guns. I listened to a ridiculous report this morning where the reporter claimed the number of ghost guns recovered by police as of 2 years ago, the latest numbers, had doubled. Now, that's a frightening statistic. I mean, if something goes from 1 to 2, it doubles. If something goes from 1,000 to 2,000, it doubles. In this case, they reported that police recovered 25,000 weapons that were believed to have been manufactured or put together in somebody's house. There are 340 million people in the United States of America. The percentage is minuscule. That is less than 7/100ths of 1% of the population in this country has ever tried or put together a ghost gun. It's a scare tactic. Now, let me explain to you why you have nothing to fear from these ghost guns. First of all, and this may be controversial, the last time I checked the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, it said my right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. If I want to start a blacksmith shop at my house tomorrow and buy the steel and make the greatest knife ever created in history, guess what? That weapon may never leave my house. If it does, it's not going to hurt anybody. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it's none of the government's business unless I start selling knives and they want to tax it. That's the point of ghost guns. It's for your own personal use. It is none of the government's business unless the criminal commits a crime with the ghost guns. These guns aren't easy to make. A few people can do it. Criminals, hardened criminals, thugs are not going to do that. They're going to steal guns or they're going to buy them illegally. The reporter pointed out 15 states have made it illegal to produce and sell your own gun from home. No kidding. but there are no laws on the books to prevent you from building one if you choose to. Your risk is if you sell it to somebody that shouldn't have it, you've broken the law. But here's the deal. In the case of that shooter at the Gateway Visual Performing Arts Center, the FBI chose not to charge anyone for selling a gun to somebody who shouldn't have had one to begin with. So you have to understand the laws are selectively enforced. The point is simple. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's not the goal of the gun grabbers and the left in this country to someday register every gun in America. They want to know what you have and when you have it, which would do them absolutely no good unless they were planning to confiscate it. The guy in Jersey thought he was outsmarting somebody by assembling it, but he's in jail anyway because, like most criminals, he only thinks he's smarter than everyone else. That is your common sense class for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Make it a great one.
Kim on a whim.
It should come as no surprise that Time Magazine has named Caitlin Clark as Athlete of the Year for 2024. I think that is much deserved. What did surprise me and very much was disappointing was Caitlin Clark's response to this. She basically went on, did this interview with Time Magazine, and apologized for being white. Mark, you actually found this and sent it to me, and I'm just dumbfounded that at this point, we're still, when someone says, hey, you deserve this honor, which she does, her first reaction is, you know what? I'm white, I'm privileged, and really that's the main reason why I've been successful. I want to read the quote that she said. She says, I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege. Goes on to say, a lot of these players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. The more we can appreciate that, highlight that, talk about that, and then continue to have brands and companies invest in those players that have made this league incredible, I think that's very important. I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing. Why can't Caitlin Clark just look at all the records she's broken, all of the fans, myself included, who she herself has made interested in women's basketball? She herself is the reason why so many people were watching WNBA games and why so many people were interested in watching the University of Iowa women's basketball games to the point where they were selling out whether they were at home or away.
She needed to shut up and play. She's gone to great lengths, I think, to avoid telling anybody what she thought about anything. And most of us thought it was because she was just a humble human being who wanted to let her athletic skills speak for her as opposed to being woke. And clearly, we just didn't know who she was. I mean, I think that's the thing about it. Now, I think there are legions of people who've become fans of Caitlin Clark. Some of them won't care, but I'll tell you what, this will. The fact that she's denigrating her own accomplishments to kneel at the altar of political correctness will impact. It'll certainly impact my desire to schedule anything just to watch a game because Caitlin Clark's in it. She's a once-in-a-generation talent, and her race has nothing to do with it.
I agree with that. I'm trying to remind myself that this girl is, what, 22 years old? Maybe 23 years old? Fresh out of college. She's had fame like she probably never could have imagined.
Right.
And it happened, it seems like, very quickly. And she's at a very vulnerable stage where people are talking about her and she's being fed all of this stuff and being told, you're privileged, you're privileged, you're privileged. So, yeah, I would expect better from her. I wish that she wouldn't bow down to this and bend to the woke mob who says you are only successful because of the color of your skin. But I have empathy for her. Listen, this is part of the problem, okay? People like Charlemagne the God, okay? I don't know if she pays any attention to what comes out of his mouth, but there was a conversation, actually a debate, that he was having with Bill Maher back in, I think, June. And this is the kind of crap that Caitlin Clark has had to hear time and again.
When people come into the league and they're like the biggest thing in college. Isn't that a big deal?
No, because Angie Wilson was the biggest thing when she came out of South Carolina. That's where I'm from. So she was one of the biggest things when she came out of South Carolina, number one draft pick. And she didn't get all of that. So what do you attribute that to?
You're saying that's racism.
No, I'm not saying it's racist. I'm just saying that I think Asia Wilson has a point. And I think sometimes when, black women say certain things, we should listen, especially her, because I'm not in her shoes.
I don't know. But why was Serena Williams such a big star? Because people like that. They didn't not watch her because she was black, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I wish Caitlin Clark would have just had the response that she had when she won the ESPY. I think it was for best women's college athlete or something like that. And she just said, thank you. What an honor. Why could that not have just been her response? Wow, this is incredibly special that I was given this award. Thank you to all my teammates and all the women who were part of this league and the coaches. Why go there with the race?
Well, what she should have said is, the fact that I won this award is living proof that despite the obstacles in my way as a white female, I'm currently a star in the WNBA. Those are the words that should have come out of her mouth. You know why?
The left would crucify her.
Well, of course, I don't care. I don't. But it's the honest truth. The makeup of players in the WNBA is 60% black, 19% white. Fewer than 20% of the players in that league are white. And then the other minorities. Let's see. Unknown Asian, Hispanic, Latina. That's in the 1 or 2%. Percentile. So the fact that she is the best known and most popular star in the WNBA as a white woman, she overcame the odds in order to achieve that. But instead, she's got to kneel down at the feet of these people who demand that she, honor them somehow by allowing her to compete in the WNBA. There's a reason she's making more money than most of them. And it's not because of the color of her skin. She's a once-in-a-generation basketball player. To reduce this to race cheapens her image, and I hate that she felt like she needed to suck up to the woke crowd. I hate that. I do. She didn't need to.
No, she absolutely didn't need to.
Her play speaks for itself.
Problem is, she has players in the WNBA who, every time she has some sort of success,
Angel Reese,
yes, that's one of them, want to downplay it and basically say, more or less, you're privileged. I mean, they're maybe not saying those exact words, but that's the main message behind what they're trying to tell her.
They told her that before she got drafted. Well, she was good in college, but you wait till she comes to the WNBA where everybody was the best player on their team in college. And she went to the WNBA and she dominated them and broke record after record after record for a rookie, which my assumption is she'll continue to do.
Right.
She's already proven their race-based bias is wrong. Why stop and suck up to them now? Unless she's felt this way all along and she just kept her mouth shut. Just to try to, which is smart, please as many fans as possible by not expressing her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's done that. I think it's going to hurt the WNBA. I do. I think they have to assume a portion of the people that were seeking out that league to watch it just because of Caitlin Clark are going to be a little offended that she had to suddenly claim that some of her success is only on the shoulders of the black women who've preceded her.
Her saying that ends up hurting her, because if she had just said, like I mentioned, how she responded to her winning the ESPY award, it's kind of neutral, just saying, I'm so honored. Thank you so much for this award. Just think, if the WNBA were the opposite, dominated by white women, and a black rookie had the incredible success that Caitlin Clark had, would she say that? We have to elevate these white women.
Well,
first of all, what does that even mean? Does it mean that every time, Caitlin Clark, you do something, you break another record, which you already have done in the WNBA in your rookie year, that every single time you do that, you have to be like, well, you know what? I can't really take credit for that, because it was the black women who came before me who really paved the path for me to be able to do what I just did. Seriously, what does that mean to elevate black women? How does that work?
The worm has turned a little bit, because Michael Jordan didn't go into the NBA and thank all of the white players from the 50s and 60s whose shoulders he was standing on. He didn't have to do that. His skill set spoke for itself. And at the time, until Oscar Robertson came along and broke the, I believe he was the one that one of the ones that broke the race barrier in the NBA. It was because of discrimination, obviously, that more black people had not played in the NBA up until then. And now they dominate the NBA, which is fine. But if there's one person that breaks that trend, it's suddenly an affront to society. I'm sorry. That's not the case. She swears she is because of her skills, period, not her skin color.
Here's something else she said in this interview. She said, I tell people I feel like I'm the most controversial person, but I'm not. It's just because of all the storylines that surround me. I literally try to live and treat everybody in the same exact respectful, kind way. It just confuses me at times. I think she's confused. I think she's overwhelmed by all the fame that she's had. It happened very quickly. Again, she's young, and ultimately she can't bow down to the woke mob,
but she is.
And I'm disappointed, but I empathize with her. And I hope that this is just some sort of a stage and that she's going to find her voice and she's going to be more confident in her skills, knowing that she has earned every single title that she has received, including Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year for this 2024 year.
Maybe she thinks by sucking up, she'll no longer get battered to the ground every time she tries to drive to the basket, which they tried to do to intimidate her with those tactics when she first got into the league. I don't know. Maybe not. Very disappointing. I agree with you, Kim, completely on that one. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to more on the reaction from the Daniel Penny case. He's finally speaking out after this trial, and the left is enraged that he's bragging about the fact that he saved lives on a subway system, and yet there are people in this country that want to make him out to be the bad guy. Unbelievable. We'll be right back.
The guilt I would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, would never be able to live with myself. And I'll take a million court appearances and people calling me names and people hating me just to keep one of those people from getting hurt or killed.
I have to imagine if you went back and you interviewed or were able to interview people that had won the Purple Heart or the Combat Medal, who were willing to sacrifice their own safety, maybe their lives, for their fellow troop members, service members, they would say a lot of the same things Daniel Penny just said. How many Americans feel that way? Here's a guy whose name has been dragged through the mud for the last 2 years while this idiot Alvin Bragg up in New York decided he needed to try to make this a case about race and charge a man who tried to protect his fellow passengers on a subway train from a maniac who was threatening to kill them. And he stepped forward at risk of his own personal bodily injury to stop this guy. Didn't try to kill him. And ends up being dragged in court. God only knows how much the legal fees were. And I know that people contributed a lot of money to try to help offset that. But these are the people we should hold up and honor in this country, not drag through the court system. It's pathetic. Now, that said, now that they've done it to him, I think they've maybe awakened a sleeping giant, because he also blasted them for the liberal policies they've had in New York for years. Go to cut three, Carl, please.
And I don't mean to get political. I don't really want to make any enemies, really, although I guess I have already. But I mean, these are their policies that have clearly not worked, that the people, the general population, are not in support of, yet their egos are too big just to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Ego's a big part of that.
They should build a statue to him outside of the entrance to the subway station where this happened. Now, you know that won't happen. But instead of, I mean, it's not out of the question. If you've heard otherwise, let me know. But it's not out of the question that this Bragg idiot could try to drag him back before another jury because there was a hung jury. He could try to go back after him on homicide charges.
He could. I don't think he would.
Boy, I don't know.
I don't think he will.
Look what he did to Trump.
He
get more at 971talk.com.